Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read the entire chapter this morning, and I want you to engage this passage. I'm going to ask you to pick one verse out of all of these verses that you think is the most important in Galatians 5, and then I'm going to ask you, and you're going to shout out which verse you think is the central, most important verse of all of what Paul's saying in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to you, to every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You're trying to be justified by the law. You, who are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against all these things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. So of all those verses, of all 26 there, which one stood out to you? Which one do you think, boy, if we had just that verse of chapter 5, you'd have all of chapter 5. You might even have all of Galatians. Somebody tell me, which verse do you think? 14. Somebody says, I got a 14. Anybody else? 1. Brad says 6. Brad read ahead on the notes. Anybody else? 22. 24. You all make good points. Let me tell you the one I picked. Some of you are just saying numbers. It's just fine. I like that you're engaged. I picked verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts. That's why I like this. I need it boiled down to one thing. Paul says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It's all about love, Paul says. I'd love to take the time. In fact, I'd time and ask you why you picked the verse that you picked. Why do you think that all of Galatians could hold together in that one passage? I would love to have some back and forth this morning. But I chose verse 6, and so we're going to do verse 6. And we're going to talk about love. And I would say, if we had time, go, let's read it again. And any time you say love, everybody go, ooh, you know, like whatever noise you make, that's the noise I make when I think about love. Ooh, I sound kind of scared. Maybe you make that noise when you think of love. When we think of love, we most often think about relationships, don't we? We think about marriage. We think about that romantic love that songs are written about and movies are produced for, and well, the whole greeting card industry is based on love, isn't it? On relationship love. Reminds me of that old man who went to the doctor complaining that his wife could barely hear. Do you remember this story? He said, "Doc, it's terrible. Her hearing has gotten so bad." He said, "Well, just, you know, you need to test out, see how bad the problem is." He said, "Stand about 20 feet behind her and say, 'What's for dinner?' And then take 5 steps forward and say, 'What's for dinner?' And the more, you know, more closer you get, the worse it's going to be." And so the old man, he's excited with his job. He runs home, and his wife's there preparing dinner. "Honey," he asks from 20 feet away, "what's for dinner?" No response. 15 feet away, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. 10 feet away, "Honey, what are you making?" Nothing. 5 feet away, and he can smell it. It smells so good. He doesn't know what it is. And he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she says, "For the 4th time, it's lasagna." Standing in the bathroom shaving. This didn't really happen, but it works better in the first person. I was standing in the shower in the bathroom there shaving, and I looked at this old, balding, fat guy. And I said to Rhonda, she was doing her hair next to me, I said, "Well, baby, what happened?" I said, I'm aging, I'm getting old, things are gray, things are falling, things, you know, I'm getting wrinkles. And she says, "Yeah, but your eyesight is 100%. Didn't really, where is she? Is she laughing? She's like, okay. When we talk about love, we so often talk about that kind of love. And what we understand is the world's definition of love is a very frail thing. Your love for your looks until your looks begin to wrinkle. Your love for your mind until it slows and you can't remember all the things that you wanted to say. Your love for your bank account until the stock market crashes. It's conditional. It's if these circumstances are good, then love is good. But God's love is not that way. It's agape. It's a different kind of love, an unconditional love. Many scholars believe that this is a uniquely Christian word. Like, there was no agape before Christ came, and then they said we need to somehow talk about unconditional love because this was not a convention in the world. Love was based on things that someone had done for you and a reflexive kind of love. Love was based on a familial bond or the bonds of serving in the military, and we understood that kind of love, but an unconditional love, that needed a new kind of a word for a new kind of love. God's love, that's what Paul's talking about. God's love is so, so different. God loves us because he chose to love us. Not because we have it all together. Not because we presented ourselves before God and we said, "God, we heard what you said. We did what you said to do. Love me." And God went, "You nailed it. I love you." Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still," what, church? Sinners, while we're still messing up and missing the mark, Christ died for us. Not because we are the biggest or the best. It's that question of Micah has of the Lord. "Lord, what kind of sacrifice do you want? You want a bunch or you just want the best?" And God comes back and says, "I don't want the bunch or the best. I want you to love mercy, to walk justly, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with me." That's what he says he wants you to do. Deuteronomy says, "It's not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples." If you want to understand how God loves us, look at the story that unfolds in the books of the law. It's the least of these. It's the slaves. It's the stiff-necked, it's the stubborn, it's the fickle. Those are the people God chooses to love, and not because we first loved him. God says, "Do you like me?" As in, you say first. You love me, then I'm gonna love you. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You and I did nothing to earn God's love, but God loves us because of what He is. He is love. Anyone who does not know God, does not know God because God is love. And this love, Paul says, transforms us. You see, you're going to give the kind of love you've received. You ever thought about that? If you were raised in a home where love was the reward for good behavior, for right actions, for not messing up, well, then you're going to tend to love people conditionally. But if you've received an unconditional love, a love that says when you've been at your worst, that's when I want to hold you the closest. Well, you learn to give an unconditional kind of love. So even when people blow it, and I mean really blow it in your life, when they really make you mad, when you really want to keep that record of wrongs, when you really want to hold up your armor and protect your heart because they might do it again, that's when unconditional love is at its best. I don't know, I've got this story in next week's bulletin. And I'm going to blow it. You're just going to have to read it again next week. George Wald was a Nobel. He won the Nobel Prize in science. Forget what kind of science exactly. It'll be in the bulletin next week. And they talked about his work and his research and what drove him and what the prize meant to him. And he said, what matters is not the prizes. What matters is not the research. What matters is not the discoveries. What matters is love. It was love that drove me to do those things. What matters is love, and you can stop working for it. You can just receive it. Love is a person, see? 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. You want a good definition of love? Here's the definition, Jesus Christ. We could stop there, couldn't we? This is how we know what love is, Jesus Christ. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week. It all holds together in the person of who He is, in His nature, in His wisdom, in His kindness, in His sacrifice. Well, John goes on, Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. It was in His actions. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And love begins and ends in the person of Jesus. Somebody asked me, how's your week? And I said, well, I had three different funerals in 7 days. Some I just attended, some I had a part in. Somebody said, oh, that must have been hard. Yeah. It was sad, a lot of crying, a lot of hanging on to people that are barely hanging on. And yet, in each instance, I walked away from that funeral, from that time of recounting, knowing something more about a person that I didn't know before. Even my own uncle, my dad's youngest brother died, and I did his funeral last Saturday. And it's funny, you just kind of take people as you meet them. So I don't know, my uncle was almost 20 when I was born, and so to me, he was always this old person, you know? And I just always thought of him as that person. And my cousin got up and talked about that she was 6 months apart from him, and so they were raised together. Spent a lot of time on a farm down in Floresville, and all the trouble that they got into, and all the things that places they went, and talked about going to the Hemisphere Tower in San Antonio in 1968 when the fair was there. Had some pictures of that. I never thought to think of my uncle as a young person, as a boy, as a little guy, getting into trouble. We were laughing this morning. You ever hurt yourself laughing? I've got a catch in my side because I was laughing. At Jim Hawk's funeral, the preacher said, I never knew Jim when he was good looking. You know, he had these pictures of Jim when he was young. And we were laughing again about that this morning so much so that I can't move. If you do a funeral right, then you get to know the person for who they were, even if you thought you knew them. When we look into Jesus, as we dig deeper, drill down and to who He is. And isn't that what we do every week? We come to just look again, to stare back into the face of Jesus. We learn something new. Something new that a lot of times sounds like something old. It's an idea that's caught in this video. I want you to watch it. Yeah, so how is that a new commandment exactly, Jesus? Sounds like the old commandment. A new commandment I give you. I think they leaned in expecting to hear something groundbreaking, earth-shattering. Something new. Don't we love something new? Oh, I've never heard that before. That's tasty. I love a tasty new thing. And Jesus says, you're to love one another as I have loved you. And I can't help but thinking, he's saying, I want you to love people as I've loved you. And that's going to make a whole lot more sense tomorrow. It's going to make way more sense in 3 days. 50 days from now, when you look back on the whole thing, you're really going to get this new commandment. Because if love is a person and the person is Jesus, and Jesus says the commandment that I give you is to you to go and love like I've loved people, then folks, love is an action. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. When you're evaluating, this is really helpful. Young people, if you're younger than 20, or if you're just looking for somebody that's going to love you in a romantic way, this is a great test. Pay no attention to what they say. And only watch what they do. If you're asking yourself, does this person love me? Well, they texted that they love me. They said that they love me. But look beyond the feelings and the expressions of those emotions and say, what is he doing? Well, this quiz that I took in this magazine, we scored pretty high on the love factor. And we have a special song, and that song makes me feel really gushy inside. Love, real love, isn't just about a feeling we have in the pits of our stomach. Real love is an action that puts someone else's best interest first. That's Jesus' love. New commandment I give you, love one another as I, in the same way, in the way in which I loved you, where you became more important than me, where your needs now superseded my wants. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. He prayed, Lord, if there's any other way to do this, let this cup pass from me. And yet he loved us enough to do the things he didn't want to do so that we could do the things that would be impossible for us to do. Somebody write that down. That's not in the notes. Jesus did the thing he didn't want to do so that it would be possible for us to do the things that we could never possibly do. Love. In our society, in our culture, we've equated sexuality with love. I want to be real clear here. Sex outside of a covenant relationship, also known as marriage, is extremely, extremely selfish. You thought I was going to say dangerous or dirty, bad. It's a very selfish act. There's few things more selfish than sex out of its proper context. It makes the participants very vulnerable. It puts the individuals at risk, families at risk, children at risk, health at risk. I'm not saying you don't have loving feelings, you don't have strong emotions, and that you feel it in the pit of your stomach, and now you want to act on that. I get that. But if you aren't in a married relationship with someone, then it's going to be impossible for you to protect them from the fallout of those actions. That you've got to choose something. Now think about this. You've got to choose not to do the thing that you want to do so that you can protect and keep safe that person that you say you love. Love's an action. It's not an emotion. Juan Carlos Ortiz, he's a preacher and leader of this massive church in Argentina, big church. He tells the story of when his church turned the corner and they became this church that he felt like they'd always set out to be, that you know they'd always dreamed about. And he prepared this sermon and he got up to deliver his message and he was going to preach on love. And so he's ready, and at the appropriate time, he starts forward towards the stage and the pulpit, and he tells about this nightmarish situation. The question in his mind was, what are you going to preach on today? And he said, love. And this thought came to him right before he was about to start. How many times have you preached on love in this building? maybe a dozen times. This is all Juan Carlos's conversation between himself. And is this church any more loving than when you first started preaching? They've heard those 12 sermons. Are they acting any different than they did before those 12 sermons? And this question brought Juan Carlos to a stop. It made him silent. It made his mouth go dry and his palms start to sweat. And the singing stopped. People sat down. And they looked up at the preacher. And after some long, awkward moments of silence, he looked at the congregation and he said, "Love one another." And then he sat down. Some of you are saying, "Ooh, that's a good sermon. I'd like to hear that one." There's another long silence, puzzled looks. There's a little bit of a murmur. So he gets up again, he clears his throat, and he looks at the congregation, and he says, "Love one another." Goes and sits back down. Third time he gets up. Crowd gets quiet. They say, "Okay, here it comes. Here's the sermon." Gets everybody's attention, looks them deep in the eye, and he says, "Love one another." He sits down. And finally, this man stood up in this large audience, and he said, "I think I understand what Brother Ortiz is telling us. He wants us to love each other. But how can I love somebody I don't know? So let's turn and meet one another." And so they started to greet people around them, find out who they were. Then it got quiet, and everybody sat down. Another person stood up and he said, "How can I love my brother when I hold a grudge against him?" And he walked across the auditorium. Can you imagine this? And sat down next to a man and asked his forgiveness. And they embraced one another and they forgave each other. And then people stood up in the audience and started finding people that they needed to do the same. Ortiz said that people, after finding out what it meant to really love each other in that audience, in that space, in that room, in that morning, he said some amazing things happened. Some people got jobs. Jobs were offered and accepted. He said medical bills were paid when they found out that someone was in need, and visitors who had come to church for the first time got bus tickets to come back. People forgave. There was marriages that were reconciled. People were convinced that God was in that place. They loved and they knew, the whole world knew that God was in that place. And Ortiz just sat there on the stage and watched love happen as an action. Isn't that what Paul says? Circumcision, uncircumcision, none of it really matters. The only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, the only thing that has any value is faith expressing itself through love. Dear ones, loved ones, my friends, my fellow Christians, my brothers, my sisters, love one another. Father God, we've heard your word this morning and we are eager to go. We're eager to run from this place and find people to love. To, yes, take care of maybe physical or financial needs, but more than that, Lord, to take care of some hurts, some bitterness. Lord, to confess some sin. Lord, maybe to confess this morning that we've added something to faith in you. We've said we believe in you, but we also do these things. Don't you love us? Lord, we want to repent from that. Lord, help us to do the only thing that counts, to love one another as Jesus loved us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We have an opportunity for you to come this morning. If you need to come forward and be baptized, we'd love for you to do that. You need to go to the back and be received by some of our elders to be prayed for. Someone to put an arm around you and say, "We'll hurt with you." They're there as well. Let's stand together and sing this song.